That's some words we don't normally mix together, amen, is joy and suffering. But we know that through what God has done, joy and suffering come together. When we talked last week about Jesus and we looked at peace and we talked about him getting ready for the crucifixion, that he went into that garden and that he was in agony and he still had peace. Well, today I want us to look at the life of Jesus and the idea that there is joy through suffering. What was it that pushed Christ to follow through with his obedience to the Father through suffering was joy. If you take your Bibles and open them this morning to the Gospel according to John chapter 19, I want us to look at a few verses that are dealing with the crucifixion, and I believe where the joy came through that kept Jesus. You know, we go through difficult time, amen, I think we could all say that. That there's times in our life that's difficult, there's pain, maybe there's suffering, there's sorrow. But in Christ, we're able to persevere and we're able to push through that because there's joy on the inside. Not as the world describes it, not happiness, but a joy that's there. It's an inner peace, an inner ability. Would you stand with me this morning as I read from a couple of passages? The first one is John chapter 19, beginning in verse 28. Jesus is hanging on the cross, and it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, said, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And now let me just read to you from Mark chapter 15. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top the bottom. Father God, this morning as we come to celebrate you, Father, as we come to worship and we seek you for the joy that is in Christmas, the joy that Christ provides, Father, we're reminded that he came for that destiny to die. Father, would you speak to us through that today? And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Again, you might ask, like I said last week, why are we talking about the crucifixion when it's the birth of Christ? Because Christ's birth, his gift, came at an appointed time with an appointed purpose and an appointed reason. He came to be born as a gift for all of humanity. And at his birth, we read earlier that the angels proclaimed that he was going to bring joy to all the earth. And what is that joy that he brought? But it's the joy that we receive through what his destiny was. He came as a king born of a baby to a lowly family in a lowly manger. But he had a high destiny ahead of him. And it was the destiny to die a death on a cross. One that's reserved for the worst of criminals. Because when he hung on that cross, what he paid for was my sin. I was the worst criminal. You are the worst criminal. We deserve to die. But he took that shame and he took that sin and he paid for it upon that cross so that all may receive him and have joy. So we see that what's going on here is the crucifixion. He's been tried, he's been betrayed, he's been beaten, he's walked down the aisle through town, what they call the Via della Rosa. He went down that road for all to ridicule and mock, then nailed to the cross and lifted up high for all to see. You see, the Old Testament and the New Testament, they line up. The Old Testament is portraying and telling who Jesus would be and what he did. You remember when the Israelites sinned and the snakes came and the snakes began to bite them and kill them? God told Moses to make a serpent of bronze and he put it up on a pedestal and said, if you're bit, look to that serpent. There ain't a thing, church, that bronze serpent could do for those people. But it was the act of faith and obedience to look to that which had been lifted up. You see, that cross in and of itself can do nothing for you. But through faith and obedience, looking to the one who hung on the cross changes everything. That's the reason that Christ came and he was beaten and that he lived that perfect life and then was crucified up on that cross was for all to see. And it tells us here in the passage that we read, he said, it is finished. You see, Christ had a mission. That mission was to pay for your sin debt, to pay for mine. We read in the English, it is finished. I could read it to you in the Greek, but we need to understand what it would have meant to them to understand what it means to us. That phrase, it is finished, would have been stamped on some papers. People who owed a debt. Many of you in here maybe have bought a house or you've bought a car and you've gone into debt. You owed money for that car. And when you finish paying for it, you get a letter saying that it's been paid. And that's what this it is finished is standing for. Paid in full. You see, Christ's purpose in being born was to pay in full, not partial, our sin debt. So once he has been crucified, he's hanging on that cross willingly for you and for I. He told them, I'm thirsty. And then his last words, it is finished, paid in full. He could breathe his last of humanity and die because his bloodshed brought joy to you and to I. How do we know that it was finished? What is it is finished? The sin debt is paid for. It opens a way for mankind to have a relationship. Let me back it up a little bit. It opens the door for you and I to have a relationship. It was the door that we had to have the payment in full so that we can have the joy that we have through a relationship with Jesus Christ. When he said it is finished, it is paid in full, it is accomplished what you've asked me to do, Father. He gives up his last breath, he gives up his spirit, and he died hanging on that cross. And then what we saw over in Mark is that he cried out that loud voice and breathed his last, and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Every word is in Scripture is important. What is the veil? In the temple, the place that they would go to worship, there was a veil that separated the Holy of Holies. It separated where the Ark of the Covenant would sit. It separated where that Ark of the Covenant was that represented the presence of God. He filled that temple. There was a veil that separated that from the holies, the place that the priest would go in and light the candles and light the incense and have the showbread. That was all there, but once a year, There was one priest that was designated that could go past that veil into the Holy of Holies to atone the sins of the people. That place was so holy that we've heard scripture that on his robe there would be bells, and around probably his ankle there was a rope. And he would go in and he had bells on the hem of his garment so that they could tell that he was moving around. They could hear the bells, but if the bells ever stopped for any length of time, they would know he was dead, because you see, he had to be right with God. He had to be in the right attitude. He had to be prepared to enter into the Holy of Holies, so holy that if he was to die, no one could go in and get him. They would have to pull him out. You see, you have to be prepared to go into the presence of God Almighty. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he breathed his last breath. It tells us that it was torn. This veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom, symbolizing that God tore that veil in half. Why did he tear that veil in half? Let me show you. Imagine this is the veil. You are on the outside. The Holy of Holies is on this side. The only way you can enter in is to be prepared and to be right. And your sin has that veil blocked. When Christ died and he paid that price, God took that veil. He tore it from top to bottom, symbolizing that there is now no separation between God and man if you come through his Son. That Holy of Holies is now open. We can enter into, through the bloodshed of Christ, we can enter into, amen, enter into his presence. Jesus knew this, even in his agony and his prayer that we talked about last week. He had peace when he understood that God said, "No, I'm not going to remove it." And his heart was aligned with God. He was able to get up and go. But I believe that there was joy that was pushing him, because he knew that through his suffering, things would change and things would happen. The first thing I want us to see is that through Jesus' suffering, he brought joy to the lost. His death on the cross, his suffering brought joy to him, because he would now be reunited. He was making a way for God the Father to be reunited to a lost world. What do I mean by a lost world? People living in darkness, sinners, those that are separated from God. I've said this several times, that some people don't like the word lost when it's in referring to, "I ain't lost." Let me tell you, loss carries a definition of significance. Think the analogy I've used before, because you see, lost people, people separated from God, are valuable to him. I want to give everyone today, for an imaginary purpose, I'm just going to throw them out there, y'all catch them, there's $100 bills. I want you to take that $100 bill, put it in your pocket. In just a moment, imagine that you get home, you put your hand in your pocket, and that $100 bill is not there. You have lost that $100 bill. Would you begin to retrace your steps? Would you go out to the car and look between the seats, you know, that little crack that catches everything? Underneath that seat? Would you maybe retrace your steps? You're going to call me in a minute. "Pastor, can I get back into the church? I lost $100. You see, that $100 is significant to you. Now, I want to give you something else this morning. Let me pull out of my pocket here, and I'm going to throw out, this is going to be a little harsh. I might have to throw it hard. Let me throw it good. I want you to catch, that is a bunch of pocket lint, a dust bunny. Put that in your pocket. Now, in just a minute, you're going to get home, you're going to put your hand in your pocket. And that dust bunny's not there. You're probably going to say, I have joy because I don't have no more pocket. You're not going to care. Why? The pocket lint has no value to it. You don't consider it lost and go searching for it. See, people that are separated from sin, from God, are of value to Him so much that He's seeking and He's calling and He sent His Son to pay that price so that He could bring joy to us. Jesus had joy in His heart as He knew that it was going to separate that veil. It was going to split it and open and give us a right. But just as we talk about it being God's greatest Christmas gift, we have to receive it. God doesn't just pour it onto anyone. He makes it available to what? To all. John 10, verses 7 through 10, talks about Jesus doing this very thing. It says, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but they, the sheep, do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus came so that we could have life, so that we could have restoration, that we could be found by Him. Also, John 14, 6 says this, Jesus said to them, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. If He would not have came and been born of a virgin so that He could be perfect, live a perfect life, had He not come with the destiny to die, then we couldn't have joy because we wouldn't have life. And I'm here to tell you, I don't care what anyone tells you, if there is someone that does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, they do not have joy in their life. They might experience great times of happiness. They might have things that the world says is that, but they don't have joy because there's no joy apart from life with Christ. Not only did Jesus' suffering on that cross bring joy to the lost, but it brought joy to the brokenhearted. Brought joy to the brokenhearted. Can you imagine that? Have you ever experienced that? That heart that's just broken. You see, as believers, we understand that when we sin, our sin breaks God's heart. And through that, we receive conviction and we become troubled and we become down and we become brokenhearted. But what Christ did on that cross through His suffering was for all times, not just a one time. He's there. We can have a relationship with Him. That heals a broken heart. Over in Psalm 34, 18, let me read to you. Psalm 34, 18, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." How many of you ever had the time that you needed to feel that God was close to you? I believe all of us do. That brokenhearted. And the only way that He can be near to us is through a relationship with Him. Jesus is the hero. Jesus is the one that provides that relationship. Also, Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verse 3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." If it wasn't for His suffering on the cross, we wouldn't have joy, the brokenhearted. And thirdly, He also brought joy to the bound. You know, Scripture has a lot to say about those who are bound, those who are slave, those who are chained. You see, before we receive Christ, Our sin makes us a slave to sin. Our sin makes us bound under the authority of Satan. But we can have joy, those of us who are bound, that acknowledge that we're bound because of what Christ did, because of his birth, and because of his death and his resurrection. We get set free. Listen to Luke 4:18. I just love these verses. Luke 4:18 and 19. Jesus is speaking, but he is quoting and reading from an Old Testament passage out of Isaiah. Jesus went to the temple. The temple leader opened up the scroll of Isaiah, handed it to Jesus, and he rolled it out till he found this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Then he closed the scroll, and it tells us a little further. He says, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus came to release the captives. His suffering releases those who will receive it. You know, just like we have today, we live in America with the freedoms that we do. We have had men and women, praise the Lord, that has gone and has fought so that we could have freedom. But there are people who choose not to live in that freedom. And I've known some who have chosen, because they didn't like what was going on, to just get up and leave and go live somewhere else. The freedom is available through his suffering. We should take advantage of that. It also tells us in John 8:31. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slaves do not remain in the house forever, and the son does remain forever. Listen to this one. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. That's the joy that Jesus had in pushing through his suffering. He suffered for you, and he suffered for me, so that we could have joy. You see, this joy goes both ways. The joy pushed him. It wasn't easy. He had anguish. He knew what was coming. But he had an inner joy that moved him on to help him persevere because of the joy of what he knew he was doing for you and for I. And we receive that joy when we receive what he did. Just like when we go Christmas shopping, I still really wonder sometimes who gets the most joy out of a Christmas present. Is it the one who spends the time thinking about the one that they love and that they care about and picking out the right gift? And then just waiting to see their face opened up. And let me put a caveat. I might not even need to say this. I believe, and there's times that it has to happen, but sometimes out of the giver, we miss the joy. Have you noticed in today's time how easy it is? Oh, let me just go get a gift card and I give it to them, let them get what they want. They might receive some joy, but you're missing out. It is fun. I want to tell you, it is joy in really thinking about and listening and finding out what someone wants, going and picking that right thing, spending the time to wrap it, even if it's like me, it's not the best wrapping. Tape does wonders to hold all the edges together that just don't quite match up. But then I also have joy when that one opens it and you see the joy in them and their face lights up. See, that's what I believe was kind of this motivation pushing Jesus, was the joy of knowing that he was going to make the way for lost people, for mankind separated from God for all of eternity, headed to hell. He was making a way to change their direction 180 degrees, just spending all of eternity with God in heaven. But we receive that joy just as when we receive that gift and we open it and you hear those words, "That's just what I wanted." And the face lights up. We enjoy that. So what is it that we can really take from this whole thing today is this. You can have joy through suffering. What is the joy through suffering? You understand when God allows us to suffer, that he limits that suffering. But what he's doing is God knows what your destiny is. God knows what he has created you for. And if you're anything like me, you have a rough few edges. And suffering comes in, and God begins to take that sandpaper. He begins to rub. But you see, when we have a relationship with God, we understand that there can be and that there is joy in that because God is making us into what he wants. You know, we can take that ugly black piece of rough coal, and we can keep it and we can hold on to it. And we can even know that there is a diamond inside there somewhere. Or we can take it and begin to break that coal off and you find that diamond underneath. See, we all have a diamond inside of us. But let me tell you what, that diamond inside that coal is not that pretty little thing that you see on a ring. It's kind of dull. It's there. It's got the potential, but it's dull and it has rough edges and not much of a distinct shape to it. But when the jeweler who sees the beauty in that diamond begins to look at it, he begins to put it on the polisher. Takes this edge off over here and takes this edge off of here. Then he takes this edge off and he looks and says, you know, this edge really isn't going to let it do its beauty, and he takes some of that edge off. And then he gets the shape he wants it, and it's still just a little bit dull, so he gets and puts that polishing cloth on there. He begins to rub it and get that friction going. It takes it off, and when he's finished, behold the beauty, the diamond that sparkles. It glistens. I want to show a hand. How many of you have ever been into a jewelry store in here? Go ahead and lift your hand. You ever been into a jewelry store? Those diamonds in that jewelry store, they sparkle. Let me tell you what, they sparkle real good. They make you think you really got something good. You buy that one, it's just sparkly all over. You put it on your finger and you go outside. Doesn't quite sparkle the same as it did in that jewelry store, did it? No, why is that? Because you see, the jeweler polished that ring to make it reflect the light that's in that store. So what God is doing through our suffering, I want you to leave here today knowing that you can have joy because God is making you into the right shape that needs to be so that you can reflect his light to sparkle out to others. There's always some sparkle, but let me encourage you, if you want to experience the true joy, stay near to the source of the joy. You see, diamonds sparkle a little bit all the time, but when they're in the direct light, they sparkle all the more because of what they're reflecting. There is joy out of suffering. May you bow your heads. Father God, thank you so much, Lord, for your love. Father, thank you that your Son lived in that joy and was obedient through that suffering so that he could come and be born as a gift to us. Father, it wasn't as much the gift of his birth, but the gift of what he gave us when he died on the cross. Father, I pray that you would open the eyes of the blind to help them to see the gift that's right in front of them. Father, may they receive that and receive your joy. Father, I thank you for those here today, Lord, who have received you, what you did on that cross, and through faith have received the payment paid in full. It is finished through your Son's death. That, Father, you have set us free. Father, we still go through times of suffering. Because, Father, you still have us living in these fleshly bodies. And you're working us each and every day to make us into what you want us to be. And, Father, we know that one day, Father, whether we breathe our last and go to be with you, or if you return and take us to be with you, that one day our sufferings will all be over as we receive that glorification in our bodies through you. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. I ask that you would just stand where you are this morning and just bow your heads for a moment. It's Christmas time. You can see it all around. We've talked about the hope, but it's the hope that comes through a relationship with Christ. We've talked about peace, and it's the peace that comes through a relationship with Christ. Today we've talked about joy, and it comes through a relationship with Christ. This Christmas season, today, do you know for a fact, no doubting, but for a fact, that through faith, you have called upon Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, to be your author of hope, your source of peace, your source of joy? If you know that without a shadow of a doubt, would you take just a moment and would you just thank God for that? Would you thank Him and praise Him for that? Now I want to ask you, if you don't know for sure, if it's not settled in your heart and in your mind, if you have any question about it, guess what? Today's the day that you can know for sure. I'm going to ask, if you wasn't able to praise God then, would you just slip out where you are and come down to the front and give me an opportunity to just briefly share with you this morning? I'm going to open the altars. I'm just going to go ahead. If there's anyone here today, if you just want to go ahead and make your way right now, don't hesitate. Just make your way to the front. You don't have to worry about what anybody else is thinking, because I promise you, if they're a true believer, they're going to be celebrating. If they're not, it really doesn't matter what they think. Today, do you need to seek God and ask Him that you know for a fact you're a believer, but you've not been living in that light. You've not been living in that joy. Would you confess that to Him this morning? Maybe just something like, You know, God, I confess that I have your joy, but I've not been living in your joy. Would you help me live in your joy? Just leave your head bowed. The next few moments, the altars are open. Father God, I thank you for your hope. Father, I thank you for your peace. I thank you for your joy. Father, I thank you through your love that all comes through the center of who Christ is and what Christ did. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be speaking to everyone here today. Lord, that they would hear your leading in living in your joy. And Father, may they experience joy through suffering. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Just a couple of quick things before you move. Next Sunday in your bulletin, you will have the Christmas offering envelopes. The following Sunday, we will be doing our manger offering. So be praying if the Lord would have you or what he would have you to give as we give toward missions as we work together corporately. Also, don't forget Wednesday night caroling, next Sunday night, 6 o'clock fellowship in the fellowship hall. May God bless you.